Hello again, and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting. And we love following the fortunes of the men in black, Saracens. And I tell you what, goodness me, they have had a marvellous week or so. They had a great victory in the league. Of course, unfortunately, they are relegated. Say no more on that one. They overcame old rivals, Exeter. And then, against top seeds in the Heineken Champions Cup, they prevailed against the previously unbeaten in 25 matches, Leinster. To tell us all about a fabulous week or so for the men in black, Saracens, is the voice of the Saracens, John. John, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Tony. Very good. Been a good big couple of weeks.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm excited. The focus here is going to be on what Saracens are focusing on now, which, of course, is defending the Heineken Champions Cup. But just briefly, let's go back to that very inexperienced Sarries outfit against a likewise fairly callow Exeter team, who before then had been, I think, unbeaten since February. And Saracens really got a jolly good result in the league, where, for all intents and purposes, John, they've got nothing to play for. Shows the strength and depth, the character, and the overall qualities of a Wolfpack, that result, I felt.
Yeah, and what I think the difference between the two teams, I mean, Exeter are clearly a class act. We might not like the chairman, but the team you've got to hugely respect. They put out a team of people that had, you know, hardly any match exposure. And the difference is that because of the season Saracens have had, but also their general approach to the squad and blooding young players whenever there's an opportunity, they had a very, very young team. But actually, those teams had still had a number of them have had good Premiership experience. So you have people like Manu Villapola and people like that. But they've actually played a lot of games. And whilst they may still be youngsters learning their trade, actually, they are streets ahead, as was shown by that result, of players of a similar sort of age and probably talent in other clubs, because they are given the opportunity and they're given the platform, and they play superbly well. I thought, as you know, I was positive when I saw the extra team that they might win, but they won very comfortably and they're very good.
Absolutely, and again, you know, we're keeping Pandora's box firmly closed. We're going to say no more about all the political aspects. But what really struck me about that inexperienced team, John, is that so many of them are from the academy cultivated, from many of whom come from the local area. And that is an emblem of what Saracens have been all about, particularly in recent years. And setting aside all the other matters, say what you might, that I think is a wonderful illustration for other sporting clubs across all sports about how you work with your community and develop the talent that is there on your very doorstep.
Well, and you know, let's not forget that the reason that they broke the salary cap was because they were trying to reward players that they developed, young English talent, come through the club, through the ranks, but had reached sort of international stardom status, and they needed to reward them. They weren't buying in superstars from overseas or from other clubs, with a few exceptions. It was largely they were trying to reward the people that they developed and keep them at the club. And that is the culture, and it's to the club's benefit, it is to the local area's benefit, and it is actually to England's benefit as well, hugely.
Absolutely. And one of the men who almost personifies all those great traits you've explained, John, is Alex Goode. And my goodness me, it's not a one-man game. It's a team sport. Of course it is. But Alex Goode was exemplary on Saturday. Saracens march on into the semi-finals, defending the Heineken Championship Cup. 16 first-half points, Alex Goode. Elliot Daly landing two monster penalties as well. That set the tone, that created the victory. It finished 25-17. So many important other points. We'll unpack it all, but just give me an idea of how much of a star Alex Goode is, one club man as he is.
Well, he was the European Player of the Year last year, and deservedly so. And you know, he's still playing at that level. His ability to read the game, his ability to make incisive breaks, passing, and his just tactical awareness is extraordinary. And you know, he is a huge star. You can't blame him. He needs to you know, keep going. So he's going to go to Japan at the end of this for a season and then come back. But he's been a fantastic servant of Saracens, but also a fantastic performer in the Premiership since it was its inception.
I'm still flabbergasted why he's not clocked up many, many more England caps. I mean, let's, again, we'll build on, again, Alex Good is not just a one-man team here for Saracens. It was a Wolfpack-style victory. But, you know, he was slotting in at 10, wasn't he? For me, he's hands down the best fullback we've got on the team. But again, that's a longer conversation. But just a testimony to his rugby mind, his IQ, and his all-around skill set to be able to slot into the huge shoes of Farrell and really look to the man of born at 10.
Yeah, he played very well, and he wasn't in any way overshadowed you know, by the opposition. Controlled the game very well for Saracens, and as you say, looked very comfortable in that location.
Got to tell you though, the Leinster, they are four times champions. As I mentioned, they were unbeaten in 25 games across all tournaments coming into this one. They are a mean opponent. They were never going to lie down, were they? And although Saracens led 22-3, Leinster did hit back with 2 second tries. And we're always going to be competing to the death. It was a wonderful advert for European rugby generally, wasn't it?
It was a colossal encounter, as it was always going to be. The forward packs, the Saracens pack, was just immense to a man. Everybody had a super game. The scrum was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I would say the Saracens scrum is not usually a weapon, but it absolutely destroyed the Leinster scrum, and they have a reputation for being, you know, very good. And then, you know, people really stood up across the pitch to make sure that it was a great performance. And Leinster are a brilliant team, but a bit like the final last year, they didn't have an answer. They were pinned back in their own half, and they did score seconds. Try they scored was very, very good, really creative, but they had to do something really special to break through that Saracens defence.
The Wolfpack defence, the much-famed Wolfpack defence, was absolutely crucial. Saracens claimed the scalp of Leinster by 25 points to 17 away at the Avenida Stadium. As you say, Leinster will be kind of beginning to be sick of the sight of the men in black these days after the recent efforts.
Absolutely, and they were very, very disappointed after the game, because once again they felt that they'd just been squeezed and hadn't performed their full ability, and they couldn't claim that they'd lost narrowly. They were well beaten, so they were very disappointed.
There's that old rugby maxim, isn't there, John? That forwards win the match and then the backs dictate the score seem to pan out on Saturday. Tremendous effort from the Saris up front. And you know what? It's not really surprising, though, is it? When you look at that front five, four of whom, when you look at, Vincent Cox, South African winner, World Cup winner, Jamie George, Mako Vunipolo, and Itoji, who's 19 tackles on the day, led all players across all of the tournament. 19 tackles from the second row. Four of the five of Saris front five played in the World Cup final. It just gives you an illustration. We talked about that homegrown quality, and they do really take it to the highest level. Tremendous, isn't it? I was just saying, John, tremendous, isn't it, to have four players who played in a World Cup final in your front five?
Absolutely. But what's interesting, that the guy that got the man of the match, Michael Rhodes, is he uncapped? I think he is. But as somebody of immense quality who's been out for a long time, a lot of the season, but had a stellar performance, The one sort of slight cloud on the horizon. I don't know if you've picked it up. He's been cited for the tackle that he did. Accused of a head clash. I don't think he's been accused, but I think that if anything, it was marginally late. Obviously, I'm not entirely objective about these things. I don't think there was any question that was, you know, it was an accidental head clash, but he has been cited for it, and that would be a tragedy. You know, going into what again will be a monster match against Racing, to not have Rhodes nor Farrell will be a huge loss.
It will certainly build up to the semi-final there, as you say. Mike Rhodes was Heineken's star of the match. That citation. Does that mean that he will miss out, or is it one of those that we could get him through as a semi-final is literally this weekend?
Well, it depends what the outcome of the hearing is. As I say, I think it would be incredibly harsh to say that there was any deliberate intent with his head. And if they've deemed there was, apparently the maximum punishment is 104 weeks. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's career. If anything, it was a marginally late tackle. Someone would hope common sense would prevail, and he would be, given a warning to be more careful, and that's it. But we'll see.
We'll watch this space. Certainly, we will. Again, I'm trying not to open Pandora's box. There seems to be rugby-wise so many of them, and I've got to say, just ever so briefly, I do respect always that player safety is paramount. But I do feel at the moment we are taking certain aspects of the hit elements of the game. It's always going to be a contact sport. It's one of the qualities of the sport. And I would hate it to get over and anesthetized. Watch this space. I'll say no more on that. We'll build now to the semi-final, as you say, going away to Racing 92. They know each other reasonably well, don't they? We're in the same pool. Obviously, that was a different context where, at that time, Saracens hadn't had that double league penalty, meaning that the league was their focus and the European Cup maybe a little bit of a subsidiary. But Racing did the double, didn't they? And they are one dangerous outfit.
Well, they've got... They are a very, very strong team. I went to the game both games, but the one in Paris, and we had the team that was being put out to play the early matches of the European rounds, and it was, you know, to start with, the first 20 minutes looked like men against boys. In fairness, Saris dug in, and eventually sort of, you know, they were heavily down in the first 20 minutes, but they held on thereafter. But they have certain players. Finn Russell is in superb form. Yeah. Fekka Tower is just immense. And they've got stars all over the pitch. And they've also got something which is very strange, which is playing in an indoor arena, which is something that the players, we're used to playing on a synthetic pitch as well. But there's a very different feel being indoors and watching in it. It must be very different to play indoors.
Yes, the Paris La Défense Arena, quite unique. But as we mentioned, going away to Leinster, that's always usually a real cauldron. But again, no fans this weekend. Do you think that will slightly, again, take away the elements of the cauldron, that arena advantage? Or, you know, again, would you always maybe just give a nudge of an edge to the home sides in this context?
Oh, undoubtedly. I think, it's a huge thing to go to a place like Leinster and particularly Aviva with 60,000 fans or however many it holds, and come away with something from there. Paris is a very different feel, but it's still a very sort of partisan home crowd. And without that, it slightly evens things up, there's no doubt. It takes away a little bit of the home advantage.
They do have so many danger men. Finn Russell is really enjoying his time in Paris, I think, looking very confident, a real danger man, the great Scot. But you mentioned Vakatawa. Goodness me. The facts don't lie, John. 42 defenders beaten. That's 13 more than his nearest kind of, I guess, competitor in that statistical factor. He's such a threat. And you think as well that, you know, Irish internationals are coming back, Thibaut, et cetera, et cetera. We talk salary cap infringements, but they are bankrolled by a billionaire in La Rosinette. And, you know, there are no salary caps in France, are there? Just the galaxies of stars they possess is astonishing. It's going to be a mega test this weekend, but I'm going to put my neck on the line. I'm fine with the comparisons at the moment.
Well, I think it was interesting, and it was interesting, the commentators, TV commentators, sort of reaction after the game. And to a man, they were all very, very complimentary about Saracens. Mm. I think it was Hugo Monnier said that he felt that one of the incredible things they've managed to do was really tap in and overcome disappointment in a way that Leinster, who hadn't had to face up to that since the final last year, perhaps didn't have the ability to overcome the sort of adversity in the same way as Saracens could. And I'm sure they'll draw on that again this weekend. You know, if Michael Rhodes, you know, does the decision there does go against them, I'm sure they draw on that. Mm. And you know, once again, as he put it, go to the well and put in another superb performance. And he'll have to be, because you know, it's a very, very strong French team.
Yeah, we've mentioned again one thing that Saracens got to be careful about. We mentioned their upfront dominance at the weekend, and they look to match that again. But the ball was only in play for 30 minutes on Saturday. I'm not saying that anything other than that was a classic way to overcome the opposition in question in Leinster. But if their kick chase isn't strong, if they just take a moment to a pause and aren't on their mettle in that kick chase department, Racing 92, as we've discussed, have the stars to burn them, don't they?
Absolutely, they do. And you know, they're going to have to be on every facet of their game. I'm sure the forwards will be. Hopefully they haven't picked up any injuries. Mm-hmm. It was an immense performance by you know, the whole pack, but particularly the front row. And they're going to be up against some monsters this weekend. So everybody is going to have to be absolutely on top of their game, as you say.
Saracens looking to defend their title, looking to become the first English team to claim four titles. They've actually beaten Racing 92 in a final back in 2016. Racing, of course, have also lost to Leinster at a final level. So they are looking to claim their first Heineken Championship Cup. John, we talked about the psychology of the earlier games in the pool, but I think that that is now worlds apart. What about the psychology of those victories at the bigger end of the scale? That final victory back in 2016 for Saracens. I appreciate so many of the stars have come and gone at Racing, but we still have that spectre of hunting the title. Because, of course, Saracens defended, as I say, to become the first English team to claim it four times. Do you think these little ghosts, if it is a tight affair, will play into the Frenchman's heads?
And clearly they've been beaten by Sarries a few times, particularly in big games. But I think that they are a team that have been building up to this, the Parisians. You know, with Europe, it happened to Sarries. You have to go through losing semi-finals, mm-hmm. losing finals, but finally, you know, you finally got the mindset, the steel, the organisation, and the depth to win. And Racing have been on a journey similar to the one that Saracens were on. So I don't think, you know, that will count against them. I think actually it will give them. Yeah, a lot of experience that will make them stronger.
I tell you what, whichever way you slice it, it's set up for an epic semi-final this very weekend. I'm going to probably kibosh everything here because my predictions are atrocious. But I just feel as though the strength of character, as you say, pulling deep, uniting together in adversity as Saracens have, and that wonderful front five, as well as, of course, magic. I'm thinking Saracens win a narrow one. away in Paris this weekend. John, are you following suit, or are you going to err on the side of caution and see a home win for the Parisians?
No, I think I'm with you. I think they've, if they can put in a, another performance as heroic as one they did last week, then last weekend, then they can win it. And I back them to do that.
I'm very confident, but obviously that's been proven wrong in the past. But ultimately, what we think, what we say matters, but not a jot. It's all down to two wonderful rugby teams colliding in 80 minutes of a affair this very weekend. We look forward to it. John, always appreciate your Saracens insights. Always wishing you and Clan the very best. Keep well, keep safe. Enjoy the game at the weekend. I look forward to unpacking it with you very soon.
Okay.
Thanks again, John.
Thank you, Tony.